Yeah. And I a woman, too. I'm Judy Pasternak, and this is More Than Half the World. I heard the Nightshade sing that last Saturday night, and I have to tell you, I play that because I love the song, but that record does not give, at least it doesn't give me the chills that it does when they sing it. It's a little too remote. It's a really... I've heard it a lot of times, and most of the time I get tears in my eyes before they're finished. Maybe I'm just moved, unduly even, by the sense of it. Do you remember Judge Archie Simonson, the judge in the Midwest, I think Wisconsin, who handed down a decision that he gave an extremely light sentence, a slap on the wrist, to, I think, two rapists on the idea that the rape victim had provoked it in the sense that he said all women just look so tantalizing all the time. It's hard for a young man to resist. Malvina Reynolds, the kind of, in a way, I feel like she's the troubadour of the women's movement, did a fast piece of music about it.
Said, screw 'em, boys, you're only human. They brought it on themselves by being born a woman, like a mountain's there to climb and food's there to be eaten. A woman's there to rape, to be shoved around and beaten. Horse or dog or violate a bank, Simonson will haul you in and throw you in the crank. But violate a woman, your equal and your peer, the judge will slap you on the wrist and lay the blame on her.
The judge took his position, the judge he wouldn't budge, so he got out this position.
True conclusion from what Simonson has said. Woman has to live in fear and cover up her head. She has to dress in poor dye and lock herself in cages. And this kinky judge in Madison is from the Middle Ages.
The judge took his position, the judge he wouldn't budge. So we got out this position and we're gonna dump the judge.
They won, too, by the way. They got him recalled. A victory. Rare. Significant, maybe. I was walking down the street one day in the winter a couple of years ago, and I was feeling pretty good. And I said, it was a real cold day, and I suddenly remembered how much I had always hated winter. And it occurred to me that the fact that I was wearing warmer clothes than I used to wear was part of what was making the difference. And I started making an inventory in my head of the difference between the way I dress now and the way I dressed 10 years ago. And it was really It was a stunning difference. It was the difference between being freezing and being comfortable. It was the difference between being helpless and being able to move. But item by item, it got startling. I started with my feet, and I realized that 10 years before, my feet would have been cramped into shoes that were the wrong shape for my foot. And my whole body would have been unbalanced because of the high heels. And most of the time that I wore high heels, I had blisters. So aside from the difficulties of running on the high heels, I had difficulties running because my feet hurt. And then my legs would have been freezing, of course, because they would have been all but bare, with just that layer of nylon stockings on them. I see women wearing them now, and I can't believe when it's cold out that that's what they have on their legs. And then I would have been wearing a short dress, so the wind would have been whistling up it, freezing any part of me below the waist that was not already frozen from being in nylons or in thin shoes. And then I probably would have had on a coat, which would not have been fur, because I've never had a fur coat, and women's cloth coats are very rarely warm. And my posture would have been funny because of the brassiere straps cutting into my shoulders. And the last one, of course, was the pocketbook. That thing weighing me down that if somebody had grabbed at in the street, I would have thought twice about protecting it before I tried to run, especially since I couldn't run anyway. I had changed the clothes I wore gradually. I hadn't really thought about it item by item like that. And although I don't want to sound at all like Judge R.J. Simonson, I have to say that I had been certainly complicit in my own oppression and staying helpless those years that I wore those clothes. So, I don't know. I don't know how many years it's going to take before the rest of the world stops seeing us as helpless and victims. But I know it's taking us quite a while before we stop seeing ourselves that way. Hazel and Alice have a song about women and the way the world looks at us.
String, she's your plaything. You can make her or break her, it's true. You
want you to use your imagination for a few minutes. It's midnight. If you're not a woman and you're listening to this, imagine that you're a woman. It's midnight and you've just left a meeting. And you're on the subway. And it's fairly deserted. And you thought about taking a cab home. And you figured, the hell with it. I'm not going to be intimidated. So you're sitting on the subway. There's two other people in the car. One of them's asleep. One of them is a man who's looking at you. So it's making you a little nervous. And you have finished rereading your notes from the meeting, and you start reading the signs, the ads in the subway. And you look up, and there's one there that says, "Rapists don't discriminate." And it's got a picture of a whole lot of different kinds of women. And it reminds you that it doesn't matter who you are, what age you are, what you look like, what class you are. If you're a woman, you're vulnerable. At the end, it's a service of the city of New York, and it has a phone number to call. But at that particular moment, as glad as you are to know the phone number, you're uneasy about the reminder. You get out of the subway, and you're on a deserted street, and there in front of you is a billboard, and the sign on it says, "A pretty face isn't safe in this city." And then at the bottom, it says, "So use self-defense." And you're thinking you wish you had learned about self-defense, and you walk another few steps, and you look up at the sign again, and you realize that it's an ad for Max Factor's new facial moisturizer, designed to save your face from the dirt and dryness in the city air.
But officer, please put me at ease. Would you repeat what you just said? There ain't nothing that you can begin to do. Nothing till I can prove I am dead. Until I can prove I'm dead. Ba 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 ba. Ba 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 ba. Hello, oh hi, is this the FBI? Got an obscene call on the phone. He threatened my life with a boy's gown. I'm scared 'cause I'm all alone. What do you mean you're on the scene? You are watching me all the time. You got binoculars trained on my window pane just in case I commit a crime. In case I commit a crime. But that pop, pop, pop. Hello, oh hey, is this the CIA? Well, this call came an hour ago. I think that I'm a spy, and you say you already know. 'Cause you got a bug in my Navajo rug, and my telephone's tapped, of course. Well, who permitted this game? Oh, the orders came. They all came from a higher source. They came from a higher source. Hello, station to station, United Nations. Someone called before, and it was real obscene. Could you intervene? Oh, you're too busy ending the war. Well, treaties and pacts, those are big time acts. Ending war takes guts and gall. But did you ever explore what begins a war? It begins with an obscene call. Begins with an obscene call. Hello, G-O-D, hello, this is me. Listen, God, this is call that I got. And I have tried them all, tried the big and small. I called the whole inoperative lot. we've been traced, we've been spaced, we've been human erased, we've been mugged, we've been bugged, we've been detected, we've been tapped, we've been trapped, we've been, hello God, we've been, hello God, we've been, hello God, hello God, God, we've been disconnected. Wives to survive, toughen up, girl, to be a woman alone in this man's world, yeah. Le, 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 le. Oh, the statistics of the police say that more nice girls get raped each day. Each day more men can't feel complete without a nice girl to be. To displease men who intend them to grin and bear it, girl, 'cause they're a woman alone in this man's world, yeah. Hey, le, 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 hey, le, le. A little girl soon discovers she's supposed to be of service to the community. To please and appease, she learns to see from between her mama's knees. She's restrained and she's trained to be sweet, to smile, to grow up as defenseless as a child. It's no preparation for a girl to be a woman alone in this man's world. No, 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 no. Oh, we can see how the fashions for women usually are limiting to physical activity. To bear and to find, they're designed to be a display of passivity. Now when you feel self-conscious, you feel confined toward a whole set of feelings. You're inclined, it's no frame of mind to wear, girl, it's your own. And be nice, but be careful. Be wise to survive. You must toughen up, girl, to be a woman alone in this man's world. Yeah. Le 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 le. Ah, the women in the cities have a very hard time. The summer is the worst for the men you find. Who whistle and leer and lay a line and try to stick it into your mind. Now country women live in isolation. They appear to some as nothing more than helpless prey. It's a dangerous place to be in, girl, if you're a woman alone in this man's world. No. It's a way of life I don't understand, as trying to provoke the lust in man to commit his sins, to inflict his crimes against the bodies of womankind. It's a way of life, it's a tragedy. You're far away, you're at home in the family, when a man takes advantage of a girl, 'cause she's a woman alone in this man. Statistics of the police say that more nice girls are getting raped each day. Each day more men can't feel complete without a nice girl to defeat. For it's the nice girls they don't like to offend, no, they will hesitate to displease men who intend them to grin and bear it, girl, if you're a woman. Be sweet, be nice, darling, but
but be careful, yes, and be wise to survive. Rough and awful to be a woman alone in this man's world. Because a woman alone in this man's world. Better look to the women in this man's world.
This is the Women's Paranoia Hour here. That was Alex Dobkin, and before that, Dori Previn. Two very different kinds of musicians, but sharing similar concerns. Actually, I have noticed that self-defense ad for a couple of months now, and I hadn't really thought a lot about it. It was just another one of the many, many, many victimizing or exploitive ads that I see around all the time, and most of the time I try and make myself callous to them. I try and concentrate on sharing women's experience, because I feel like sometimes we could drown in protesting those things individually. But a friend of mine called me. She was real, real concerned about that particular ad. And it's a special kind of exploitation. I do agree with that, because it exploits our urge, our need to stop being victims. It exploits the raised consciousness. It exploits the movement for self-defense in a particularly obnoxious way. I'm not sure myself if it's a particularly dangerous way, but it's real obnoxious. And I thought maybe today people would want to share their thoughts about that one, or about whatever media images you've seen recently that really seem to offend you, especially in relation to making women seem like victims. Or making us, oh, you know, all that stuff that the media does to us. So I would like people, after the next piece of music, I would like people to call up 371-5200 and talk about either the most offensive media image you've seen recently, or the most liberating one. If you have seen anything that counteracts that, if you have seen something advertised that appeals to women's strength, to our sense of self, rather than to our sense of ourselves as victims or as objects. Let us know about that, too. The number is 371-5200. And first, I want to hear a little more about paranoia.
Gonna be enough to hold that woman. You ain't never gonna be the one she deserves. The competition grows around you like a storm, and all your previous rejections come back home. Paranoia is your bus driver. She sits upside down to avoid the sun. She eats your bus token and says you didn't give her one. And the man in the back that you complain to turns out to be her son. And you wish you had walked, 'cause now you have no place to run. Never gonna be enough to hold that woman. You ain't never gonna be the one she deserves. Competition grows around you like a storm. makes your transfer and says, Mama, look what I just found. And when you reach to take it back, Mama says, stop that, you pervert, deviant hell. Then they finally stop and put you off. You don't even have time to turn around. Paranoia in her headless bus, trying to run you down. You ain't never gonna be enough to hold that woman. You ain't never gonna be the one she deserves.
That was Paranoia, Willie Tyson's, from her record Full Count. Do we have a phone call here now? Okay, WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I always wonder why more men don't remember that men also are raped. If they don't remember, they can't bear to mention it.
I think it probably isn't. I mean, it's so rare, except, well, in prisons. But then those aren't men, those are just convicts.
Well, we'd like to say it that way. I was just thinking that the one time I can remember in the media mention of it was in a very Hollywoodized film, the film they made of the book Exodus, in which the character Sal Mineo portrayed, after a lot of grueling soul-searching, admits that people in a concentration camp, people running the concentration camp, did this to him, raped him. And, only under those unbelievably hideous circumstances by those unbelievably hideous people had it ever been mentioned.
Well, it was also the movie, there was a movie with Burt Reynolds from a book.
Yeah.
Now I can't remember the name of it. It was an awful, awful movie.
Probably was, but I think as men could face up to the fact, I think more men are raped than they will admit, because it's much more difficult for a man to admit it to himself than a woman. I did want to say something about media.
Yeah.
There's one commercial for Oxydol, if you've ever had the misfortune of having to sit through it, in which they have someone who looks like a terribly uninteresting, ordinary, middle-aged, for want of a better term, housewife. Usually she's got her hair in curlers and a bandana around her head, she's asked why she doesn't use Oxydol, and her exact words, I'm quoting her, is, "Well, it just never turned me on." You know that one?
No.
Those are her exact words. She says the name never turned me on. Turned me on. And I almost fell over when I heard that. Turned me on. Turned on by detergent's name. And
but
I was talking to some people in advertising, and they said it was a perfectly, in their way of thinking, a perfectly sane thing to say, because they do expect, as they put it, this sort of woman to get some kind of excitement out of her detergent.
Sure they do. That's why they name them things like Joy.
And Bold. But she actually put it right there on the line. The name just doesn't turn me on. Who is so stupid that she goes to buy laundry detergent with the idea that the name is supposed to turn her on, and that's what's going to make her buy the detergent rather than whether it cleans her clothes?
I suspect that all of us are that stupid. I suspect that in the end, after having these things hammered at us day in and day out,
in the end, we do
buy the ones that have the most exciting.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be in a financial position to buy the time that they can buy on TV.
Yeah. I'm never sure myself when I get attached to brands, particular brands of things. I never trust that it wasn't something in the advertising. Except once in a while when it's a product that I discovered and that I can swear I never saw an ad for.
The commercial was particularly interesting in that it said it so frankly.
Yeah.
The name just doesn't turn me on. And I find there are a couple of other commercials that I find extremely irritating. Not a couple, I guess many of them. But these are the ones that are very expensively done. And they're the sort of commercial that if one looked at them and didn't speak or understand English, one would have no idea what the commercial was actually advertising. Do you know the ones, there's some sort of frozen vegetables that are supposed to be in the style of some foreign country?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have a man who's from that country.
Yes, with an absolutely gorgeous wife, you know. Beside him, he's saying, your beautiful wife compares to you as my beautiful wife compares to me.
Yes, yeah. It's by the way, all those, that particular brand, all those commercials.
Dreadful.
The husbands are much older than the wives. That always seemed odd to me. I mean, it's that they really are showing some real power difference.
Yes,
you know,
always
between,
in the background, isn't she?
Yeah.
Really a
yeah.
little bit behind him, or, you know.
She's in the background. She's very pretty. She's absolutely silent.
Yes.
And she's enormously younger than he is. So that.
Except for the Hawaiian one. I think the Hawaiian husband doesn't look quite so old.
Well, that maybe that's exotic enough so that they're promising exotic delights even without that.
Now that you mentioned it, there was another commercial using an Italian couple. It was for something to do with a baby. It was a facial tissue. Something about being soft as a baby's bottom. And you had an Italian man in his 50s, but very distinguished. You'd think he was a count in Florence or something. And
mm-hmm.
Sitting in a palazzo holding a baby and talking about something being soft as the baby. And then he hands the baby to the woman who presumably is the baby's mother, and she's an extremely good-looking young woman draped in a towel, clearly just having come from the bath. And their age difference would look like 30 years.
Yeah. That's another whole... I mean, there's another whole way that they exploit babies and children also in the commercials.
Interesting that you mentioned I was thinking of the Italian couple, and in this other situation they also chose an Italian couple with this great age difference, and this somehow suggesting if you buy this brand you're going to find yourself in the position of great wealth and a very young
mm-hmm.
wife. And
probably, I don't know, I shudder to think of what goes on in their minds. We have other calls, and I want to hear what other people have to say. Thanks for calling.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not a feminist, and I'm not a masculist. I'm a humanist.
Okay.
And there are a couple of commercials that really offend me from a human point of view. And one of them is a man pointing at me from the television set and saying, "You have a cold." And I don't have a cold. So I wrote to the CBS television network, and I wrote to the sponsors, and I wrote to the Federal Communications Commission. And the Federal Communications Commission sent me back about a 12-page reply as to things that they had no control over. And I thought there was such a thing as a truth in advertising law, but apparently, according to the FCC regulations, people can say that they have no regulations as to what they call grammar, the use of grammar.
Mm.
So if a person can interpose a negative in the middle of a sentence and thereby changing its entire meaning, if they don't control grammar, they don't control truth at all. So anything can be put into advertising. There's another one where a child comes up to the back door with his in out of the rain. And the mother gets all upset because she says that the child is going to catch a cold from being in the rain. Well, there's no medical evidence or cause to believe. I spent time out in the rain in Woodstock. I spent 4 days out in the rain listening to music, not eating very much food, and taking a lot of acid and smoking a lot of dope, and I didn't catch a cold. I didn't have any nourishment at all.
Yeah, there's a... I think we can assume that one way or another, advertising victimizes large numbers of us. But I really did want to hear today about, specifically, images that exploit women's vulnerability. So, and I have more phone calls coming in.
Okay, well, don't do what the other feminists on your WBAI do and exclude male calls as policy, because I think that there's something really wrong with that attitude, and it's being done on one of the late night, I forget the name of the feminist show, not the lesbian show, but...
That's another whole conversation.
Uh-huh. All right.
Thank you for calling.
That's just the crime. In other words...
Do we have WBAI? You're on the air. Hello? Okay. We lost that. We are trying to talk about media images that make women feel or look especially helpless, especially vulnerable. The phone number is 371-5200. And if you've seen anything like that recently, if you haven't, I want to know where you live. If you have, call and tell us about it. And if you have been lucky enough to see something that attempts to exploit only a better image of women, let us know about that too. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello, Judy.
Hi.
Sometimes I'm sitting at home and I'm watching Channel 47, which is a Spanish channel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a commercial that's really offensive on it. And it's a real estate commercial. And they have a typical man and wife sort of couple. And they go through the whole thing of, like, they're buying a house and all that. And toward the end of the commercial, they have sort of a close-up of the two people, and the man announces that once they get the house, he's going to have kids. And it's done in such an arrogant way that it's very offensive. And I haven't seen anything like that on on English-speaking TV, but that's sort of like really offensive that even when I'm watching it with my sister, and, you know, we sort of turn off the sound because it's sort of very weird.
You mean the implication is that he's going to have kids and the house is going to have all kinds of machinery in it, including this body that will deliver the kids for him.
Exactly.
And yeah.
It's, I don't know, Spanish channel is very influenced by, a sort of double standard system or what, but
okay.
it's very offensive. Even some of the programming, which is nice sometimes, it's sort of interspersed with very double standard type of thinking.
Last time I watched television, by the way, English speaking television, so was that. I don't think it's limited to the Spanish programming.
I find it very very different than English-speaking TV. Just that it happens to be that one thing I think is that just any sort of foreign TV is sort of starting out, so they believe. I think they might believe that since they're starting out, they're going to start off with the basic role models, which is sort of. I think even for English-speaking TV, they've even gotten a little bit away from that. Not as much, but. They're more subtle. It's just more blatant on...
It wasn't the last time I watched, but okay. I guess I would also like to suggest to people that if they see anything real offensive, they catch the name of the commercial and write to the broadcaster about it. That can't hurt, especially if a lot of us do it. We have more calls coming in, and I'd like to take them.
Bye.
Okay, thanks for calling. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, I've been very upset by an advertisement in a magazine, and it's a Tampax advertisement where a woman and a man are, like, climbing rocks or mountain climbing, and he is directly behind her looking up her crotch, and the commercial is, the ad is to say, you know, to prevent accidents from embarrassment, and, I don't know, I just think that's really about poor taste and offensive.
Well, it certainly goes to the point, doesn't it, of why I did a program a while back on having your period, and I was just, and some of it was broadcast this past Sunday, and I was listening to it, and it I think all the tampon and sanitary napkin advertising tends to really exploit women's, you know, anxiety about their own bodies a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's, you know, I don't know about you, but I think one of the reasons I started using it was so that I wouldn't have that telltale outline.
Yeah, right.
You know, years ago.
I was also concerned with Ms. Magazine's advertising. I noticed that most of the advertising is for alcohol and cigarette smoking. I mean, in their full color.
Yeah.
And like every other page is that. And it's almost as if they're saying, well, wow, you know, here, women, drink as if we don't have enough problems.
I think probably part of it is that Ms. probably solicits gender-free products.
Yeah.
You know, and those are. There was also an ad in the current.
Had articles on alcoholic women.
Yeah.
And it just seems like they're being a little hypocritical. I know it's money.
Yeah. There was also an ad in the current issue of Ms., I think, yeah, with a woman embracing her station wagon and said, I had my station wagon out of wedlock.
And I missed that one.
A whole explanation of how she bought a station wagon, even though she isn't a suburban housewife.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, sensational, I guess. Sensationalizing, something like that. Okay, we have
okay,
more calls coming. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Calling.
It's a good show.
Thanks, bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I have something here. Yes, hello?
Turn down your radio, and then you can hear.
You want me to hang on?
I'll hold on, and you turn your radio down.
Okay.
When we pick up the phone here on your call, you have to
turn. Right, okay.
Okay.
I don't usually listen to the commercials. I sort of walk away from them. But once I got caught, I heard an ad for arthritis, something, I don't know whether it was aspirin or whatever, but it was to help arthritis. And it was a middle-aged lady walking down the street carrying bundles with her hair back in a bun. And this poor lady looked as if she was plodding along and bowed down with the cares of the world. And it was playing on the sympathy, I felt, of the people. Middle-aged people don't want to feel that way. Don't want to look that way, and there's no reason for that kind of ad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very offensive.
Yeah. I mean,
it's offensive to a middle-aged person seeing that, because most middle-aged women will do something about their aches and pains. They won't go around looking like that, like, you know, an old-fashioned European lady who bowed down with all the bundles and all that. And then later on, of course, the ad came on and showed how wonderful she looked afterwards.
Yeah.
I thought that was offensive.
There's a peculiar dichotomy. You know, as long as we're being, as long as we are victims and objects in the eyes of the culture at large, they almost get us coming and going,
yeah,
in the sense that there, it's offensive to be portrayed as sex objects.
Yeah.
And it's equally offensive to show us as looking our least attractive,
right.
So, you know, with the hammering on the concept that if we use their product, we won't look like that.
Exactly,
yeah.
And it's sort of playing on people's sympathies. There's a large and growing group of older people who I would feel would resent,
yeah,
image being foisted on the public.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are not like that. They don't look like that. They don't want to appear that way. And they're doing something about it. And I think that the people who have, the PR men in that particular ad didn't work it out too well.
Yeah. Yeah, the program before mine on Tuesdays, Bread and Roses, has the Grey Panthers on it, and they often talk about images of older people in the media.
Yeah, the image really has to be changed.
Well, the image of...
with the way people are feeling about themselves.
Yeah.
Women,
yeah.
I'm talking about, because actually... you know, this image is not, you don't see it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very seldom.
Yeah.
And I think that most women would resent this coming across as poor old mom.
And how different she'd be if she just...
Look how she suffers, and
yeah,
she's plodding along with these bundles. I mean,
yeah,
it's really, I thought it was really completely outdated and just, it wouldn't appeal to most people.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I have a couple to relate that I've seen and noticed around. The first one is the Virginia Slims commercial, the cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And they show the lady, she was smoking, and some husband or some male figure threw her out of the house or something. And they show her that she's now, she can smoke, she's allowed to smoke.
Yeah.
I don't smoke, I mean, but it sort of bugs you.
Yes.
And, let me see, I suppose the one everyone gets bugged by is the Geritol commercial, where he goes, my wife, I think I'll keep her. I just walk away when I see that coming on.
Yes.
Sort of bugs everyone, I guess. And then,
I guess if it bugged enough people, you know, we would have let them know and they wouldn't be using it anymore, so I suppose it still doesn't bug enough people.
I guess not.
Or else people haven't cared enough to let them know that it bugs them.
Yeah.
But it does bug me, yes. We have a lot of calls coming in here. Do you have any other?
Yeah, I have one more.
Okay.
It's the Sheer Energy commercial. I think it's pantyhose or something.
Uh-huh.
And the show she's dragging along, and finally she wears these pantyhose and stuff, and she's dancing everywhere.
Solves all her problems.
Mm.
It solves all her problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. Goodness gracious, what was that? WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi, I think that I've been listening to the program, and there's so many shows that are totally obnoxious, but one that lately is kind of interesting, and I want to investigate to see if it has any kind of basis in fact, and I don't think there have been any studies, but the Femiron commercial, where there's a very beautiful woman, and she's, you know, kind of model-looking, and most model-looking women are somewhat anemic-looking, but that's the, you know, image of beauty in women.
Mm-hmm.
But while it's evident, and, you know, that women do have a lower hemoglobin and lower hematocrit than men, I don't think that there's ever been a study where it's been proven that it's because of your menstrual period.
Yeah.
That's the implication and assumption that they are making this money on Femiron, that all women, as soon as they are, you know, past the age of puberty, they need extra iron in their bodies.
I don't know. It seems to me that I have even heard that from medical people, but that, of course, does not prove.
Right. Well, it's a medical fact that we do have a lower hemoglobin, but I don't think it's ever been proven that it's because of our menstrual period, because the blood that accumulates there is not out of our... It's not a loss in terms of, like, if you cut yourself, you lose blood, and then
mm-hmm.
you lose your hemoglobin and hematocrit go down.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's all hooked up in that whole image of woman or man's idea of woman that that men can't understand bleeding without dying.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah. I just thought I'm going to check on it, and then maybe I'll call you some other time and tell you what I found out.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Let me know.
Bye.
Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Okay, am I on delay? I better turn down my radio just a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the ads that offend me the most are the ads that depict women, and for that matter, men too, dressed up in fur, garments made of fur.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, the ads depict people as being attractive if they wear those garments, when in fact people look like murderers wearing those garments, because to wear those is to take part in the system, which is, you know, mercilessly and ruthlessly destroying the remaining wildlife of our planet. And I always see people dressed up in fur coats as murderers rather than as attractive people. So those ads offend me. And about, by the way, advertisements like on the subways, that ad you mentioned, the self-defense max factor thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is something people can do about ads on the subways. They can simply remove them and tear them up. That of course, is one thing. It involves a risk. You know, one should make sure that there's no one on the given car of the train that may be an officer of the law before, you know, ripping down a sign unless, you know, one wants to go to jail. But another thing one can do is take a sign down and take it home and measure the type size, the size of the type used in the advertisement and the type style. And then, you know, make up your own message and go to the printers and have the message on, you know, paper with a gummed backing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, just paste over the advertiser's message with your own. And about 10 years ago or so, me and some other people did this to the Levy's Rye Bread ads, where it says you, to enjoy, the top of the ad says, you don't have to be Jewish, and the bottom says, to enjoy Levy's Rye Bread. Well, we measured, you know, the type, style, and size, and our message was, you don't have to be Jewish to oppose the war against Vietnam. And we went all over the subway stations changing those ads, and you know, it was really a lot of fun, and it was also, you know, I think it got maybe some people to think.
It sounds expensive, but it sounds like something that, especially considering the number of women in those ads, that we could have fun with. Okay.
The self-defense ad, you know, I took a good look at it. It can easily be covered over with a message something like, the word pretty can be changed to women's, since women who do not fit the social image of what pretty is supposed to be also are victims of mm-hmm. rape. So it can read, a woman's face is not safe in this city, and then the message can urge women to take up self-defense courses. And, you know, the message pasted onto to that can cover the picture of the given product of Max Factor 2. So the entire ad can, in fact, be changed.
And turned to our side.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much for calling.
Okay,
thanks
have a
for
nice
the idea.
Day.
Thank you, you too. Okay, we're trying to talk here, most especially. This is WBAI, New York, and we are trying to talk about images that exploit women's vulnerability, media images.
Violations because...
WBAI, oops. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello. The ad that I wanted to talk about really isn't terribly recent, but it annoyed me so much that I still remember it after about a year, I guess. I think it was in the New York Times color advertising section.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an ad for women's slacks. And it portrayed a man standing in front of a woman. She was sitting and looking very vulnerable and completely quiet. And he was saying, I'm a pants man. Now, the whole ad is for women's slacks. And he talks through the whole advertising about how... what he looks for in a women's slacks, and he talks about how he knows because he reads the label.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was incredible. It really, you know, gave a sense of how women don't even know enough to, you know, read the labels and pick out their own things. In other words, the implication was that, you know, he was, you know, selecting her clothes,
mm-hmm.
and he was undressing her.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, it was just
yeah.
incredible.
And he knew best.
Yes, right. He reads the labels. That's his job, you know, to make sure that, you know, that she takes care of herself properly.
Yeah.
It was really incredible. And, you know, the whole ad was about him. It was, I'm a pants man, you know.
Yeah.
In other words, of course, there was also the implication that women should dress for men, you know, in order to, impress them.
Yeah. Did you do anything about it?
Yes, I did. I wrote a letter, and the answer I got was almost as bad as the ad. I'll tell you, I got an answer from their advertising company, which said, you know, we're terribly sorry that you took this in such a light, and it was intended as a spoof, and we're sorry you didn't find it amusing.
I guess we just really have to be persistent, you know. We have to write back to them again and say, okay, it's not an amusing spoof.
Right.
and send more of this stuff, you know, make sure it gets publicized more.
The most offensive part of it was also, there was a section in it that said, I like a woman to look independent. I like her to look like her own woman. You know, in other words, not to be that, just to look that way.
Yeah.
You know, that was really the worst part of it.
Yeah, another one of the ones that was in certain, you know, exploiting the existence of feminism, trying to have it both ways.
Exactly.
Trying to have even liberated women still remain just as vulnerable.
Right. She could be under his thumb, but if she looks, you know, she can look independent, but that's about all.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I really enjoy your program. So.
Okay, I'm glad you wrote to them. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
It's a big issue, and you know, I'm really having a lot of thoughts about it. But a couple of things is that I really hate that New York Times magazine with all the stuff that it has in it. And there's one strange advertisement about men who are going bald, and how this man had everything except women, and that he could get some women if I'm not paraphrasing it very well, but he could get some women if, you know...
If he had some hair.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really ridiculous. And then, of course, all the ones with how underwear are fashion now, and women are laying across beds and things like that.
Yeah.
And a little bit aside from that issue are two other things. One, Ebony magazine really irks me. It has constantly things like ways to be beautiful, how to treat your man, you know, make him think he's boss, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.